You are listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Hospice care has become much more common across the country, and Arizona is no exception. One of the most prominent organizations here has been around for about four decades, Hospice of the Valley. Recently, the 1,400-employee nonprofit elevated Debbie Shumway to the position of executive director. She takes over from Susan Levine, who led the organization for more than 20 years. And Debbie Shumway is with me. Debbie, let's first define the term hospice. What does it include?
Hospice care really has evolved over the course of time, and it's for that patient and the family that are experiencing a terminal illness at a variety of stages and levels. And it's an opportunity for a team to come in and care for the whole family, not just the patient. And so we have our nurses and physicians, social workers, chaplains, CNAs, really the whole team to come in and understand what's going on with the patient, working with the community physician, which is a really important part, so that that family feels like they are wrapped around with a lot of love and support 24/7 to really manage their symptoms, but also to manage the emotional aspect of what everybody is dealing with. There are so many parts in healthcare now, so many options and questions that families experience. They need someone to help navigate that, and hospice care can really help the families do that.
Just in your opinion, as someone who's been doing this for a long time, why do you think people have become more receptive to hospice? Is it being more educated, or is it this idea that people in some ways, I'll use the word enlightened, though I know that's not necessarily the proper word to everyone, but is there more just awareness of what this process involves?
There really is an increase in awareness. I think across the country, you know, hospice really in the state of Arizona, we are celebrating our 40-year anniversary this year. But I think as I've watched it over the last 23 years, people are coming with a lot of questions, but they've also been asking a lot of questions before they come to hospice care. And they want to not spend their last days in a hospital room. They want to be around their family and friends. And comfort is really important. So I think the education around end-of-life care has increased so much over the course of time and will continue.
So how has Hospice of the Valley become such a major part of the community?
You know, I think as I've watched us over the years, our mission has never changed. Even as we've grown and evolved in healthcare, it's about the patient and the family and their journey and supporting them where they're at. And honestly, our mission of providing perfect patient care, we aren't perfect, we know that, but that is our absolute direction, is what do we need to do to support the patient and the family? And listening to what their needs are and responding, I think when you're focused on that and only that, you have the opportunity of meeting the patient and family where they're at and bringing in whatever resource it is that they need. And sometimes, quite honestly, it's not about the medication. It's about making sure that their dog is taken care of or their cat. It's really understanding what their concerns are and what their wishes are.
What does it take to get high-quality employees? And I ask this because I have relatives, friends who have dealt with loved ones dying. They've used hospice. They have also had caregivers for older people who need more regular care. And there's been, and I don't mean to cast aspersions, a blanket statement, I will make this clear when I say this because it's not everyone's experience, but there has been an experience that dealing with hospice has been, people who will come out, hospice nurses or other people, it just seems as though they're more in tune with the care they're supposed to provide. Is that a unique person doing that? Is that better training? What do you think?
You know, maybe a combination. It's interesting. We just had orientation for some new hires yesterday. We have a pretty extensive interview process, and I think that's important and all of the typical things you see. But I think people come to us because, and I heard it yesterday again, they want to be able to spend the time with the patients that they trained to do. They're passionate about healthcare, and they want to be able to sit at the bedside and listen and not feel like, boy, I have 15 minutes to see this patient and then I have to move on to the next. They have as much time as they need to be with that patient. And I think for folks that really, of course, everybody wants in healthcare wants that, but hospice really provides for that. where they can sit and have the one-on-one. So I think it is a calling. We hear that a lot. Folks feel very passionate, and we have folks that are just right out of nursing school that want to work at Hospice of the Valley or in hospice in general. And then you have folks that want to retire. That's their long-term vision is, you know, they've been working in ICU or wherever they've been. And, you know, this next 10, 15, 20 years of their career, they want to be a hospice nurse or chaplain or whatever that role is.
It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix with Debbie Shumway. She is the relatively new executive director of Hospice of the Valley. We're talking about Hospice of the Valley and hospice in general. Where does your funding come from? How do you keep going strong?
So our funding comes from Medicare. That's our biggest funder, and insurance companies. And on top of that, then we really rely on donations. I think the unique thing about Hospice of the Valley is we will never turn anybody away. Whatever their needs are, it does not matter if they have insurance or not. They are going to be cared for with the loving, compassion, care that anybody else receives. So if that's meeting a patient on the streets, which we have a lot of, we will do that. And so that's really the difference. In general, we spend anywhere between $13 million on up in charity care a year. And so those funds really come through donations. And that's a fundamental part of who we are, and that's not going to change. We talk about this with our employees all the time. I mean, we are, out of our paychecks, we're funding Medicare. And then when the Medicare dollars swirl around in Washington and wherever and come back to reimburse us and care for those patients, those are pretty important dollars. And so we've got to be great stewards of how we're spending those dollars because they're limited. And we know that out of that, we also need to make sure we're meeting the community need. And that means anybody that needs hospice care or end-of-life care, so that pre-hospice care, if they're not quite ready for a hospice but they have needs, how can we support them?
As I mentioned, you've been executive director for a short time, but you've worked for Hospice of the Valley for a number of years. Has your perception of hospice changed? Did you know a lot about it when you started, or were you someone who thought, I'm kind of interested, but I'm not quite sure yet? Could you share a little bit of your background?
Sure. When I started 23 years ago, my grandfather was on service, and I didn't know a lot about hospice care. I had some general background in health care, and my father was in hospital administration his whole career. So I had the luxury of just kind of growing up with health care, and the thought of and the desire to serve others was really at the heart of what I wanted to do. We were very small as an organization at the time, and quite frankly, I wasn't quite sure there'd be enough work after a few years. Boy, was I wrong, and I'm thankful that I was wrong. I think hospice care has evolved over the course of time in a lot of ways in terms of making sure folks realize it's not just the last week or two or the last month or two of life. We can really help support the patient and the family much longer than that. And so I've watched that evolve, but our core mission hasn't changed of really taking care of patients. And we have one chance to do this right, and we've got to focus on doing it right always.
Do people who work for Hospice of the Valley, and I'm not saying there's a requirement of this, but do you think from a mental standpoint, people have to be more comfortable with the concept of death? Because a huge percentage of us are not, whether for our own selves or our relatives or loved ones. Is there a certain attitude that has to permeate working for something like Hospice of the Valley?
That's a great question. I think that you do have to have the compassion and a servant heart is just a requirement. And you have to be comfortable with the notion of death and dying, because how do you support somebody else if you aren't? And so we as an employer really help support our employees through all kinds of education and mindfulness. And because if they can't take care of themselves, how can they properly take care of somebody else? And so feeling comfortable with patients and families that are going through this journey is really important, very different than some other aspects in healthcare. We talk a lot about how similar it is when we're bringing a patient into this world or a baby into this world, how we're helping that loved one and the family navigate as they're taking their last breath or whatever that is that they're dealing with.
How has that continued to change? Are you seeing trends? Are you seeing anything that would indicate we're going to see even more of an evolution of how hospice is treated and how hospice is done?
There is definitely an evolution. And, you know, the term palliative care, which is confusing to some folks, to a lot of folks, yeah. We have over 800 patients on a palliative care program, which is really patient care that's before hospice. Those patients have a chronic illness, and they have maybe 3, 4, however many specialists involved, and they're running from one doctor's appointment to the next. And I've done this with family members. There's a lot to navigate. And so our team really functions like a quarterback, working with the specialist and the family and connecting some of the subspecialties within all of our healthcare system to make sure that everybody's communicating and listening to what the patient's needs are. So I think, you know, before you even get to hospice, that chronic illness that you're dealing with, that somebody might be dealing with, there's a lot of need out there. And Medicare's recognizing that. They're not paying for it yet. But I think that's going to happen at some point in time. But interestingly, the insurance companies are paying for that. They're seeing the benefit of really supporting that patient in their home, having after-hour triage coverage. So at 2 in the morning, when a symptom presents, you know, rather than calling 911, if they can get a nurse to come to the home, address what's going on, and sometimes it's just anxiety of the caregiver, talking to the caregiver over the phone, and of course sending out help if needed. But those, and this may sound simple, but if by doing that, we're able to really address the patient needs and prevent an unnecessary hospitalization. I think that's really where we're seeing a lot of resources being spent. There's a lot of organizations that are setting up transitional care services. How do we get that patient from the hospital to home, get them tucked in, and the proper resources there to support them?
Debbie Shumway recently took over as Executive Director of Hospice of the Valley. Debbie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.